Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Before we jump into this soulful episode, I want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by my accredited program, Ayurveda Alchemist. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda holistic health coach. Ayurveda Alchemist is for women who are ready to embark on an epic personal development journey, immersing themselves in the wisdom of Ayurveda, learning how to optimize their health and well-being by addressing all aspects of self, including their physical body, mental and emotional health, and spirituality, whilst wholeheartedly stepping into their dharma, their purpose. This program is also for women who would love to get started with a fulfilling career in Ayurveda, and for already established health, wellness, and life coaches who want to create greater impact by offering a holistic framework that gets their clients exceptional and holistic results. This certification is what you need to step into the high-level practitioner that you were born to be and stand out from the coaching crowd. You will experience undeniable growth personally and professionally. You will be mentored by highly qualified facilitators, guest experts, and practitioners. Spots are strictly limited. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the lives of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to www.harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. And if you're a new listener, then I'm so happy to have you here. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Today's episode is all about endometriosis. It's actually a really special episode because the tables are turned and I'm actually getting interviewed by Brianna Villegas from the Hormone Rants podcast about my personal and professional experience on the process of getting an endo diagnosis and managing symptoms. In this episode, we cover the gap between Western and Eastern medicine, common signs and treatments for endometriosis, my personal and less common symptoms and journey to diagnosis, plus many ways that you can start supporting your body today.
The month of March is Endometriosis Awareness Month. So before we close out the month, I wanted to bring in this particular guest episode with Harmony, who is someone who has their own personal experience of endometriosis, but also works with women who have endometriosis in order to find relief and health and wellness in that journey. Harmony is an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner and the founder of the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy. She's also a registered nurse with more than 17 years of experience in the health and wellness industry. And her mission is really to bridge the gap between Eastern and Western medicine. And so I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation today because we really dive into that gap, especially with endometriosis, which often takes years and for some women up to a decade to get a diagnosis of. So understanding the perspective from both a Western and holistic Eastern medicine approach can be so valuable to give you real tools that you can use today in spite of the lack of definitive research on the cause and best treatment. So pull up your notes app and get ready to just dive into all of this inspiring wisdom and practical tools to identify and manage symptoms of endometriosis. So pull out your note app as we jump into this conversation and both learn from as Harmony shares all of her wisdom that she's developed over the past 17 years serving women in the health and wellness space. Well, hello, Harmony. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
One thing that I find super interesting about your background is this balance of all these years in nursing and now being in the holistic space and, you know, trying to marry the two. And so I'd love to kind of start there with like your previous experience in nursing, more medical, Western medicine training, and what you kind of learned through that experience, what you were taught around like menstrual cycle, menstrual disorders, just like more of the female experience.
Yeah, sure. So I graduated nursing school, my degree in nursing in 2005. So it's been a while and I can't remember the details of what we learned, to be honest, but it obviously wasn't a standout. So I don't think we went really deep into the menstrual cycle and different hormonal imbalances. And, you know, over the 17 years or how long it's been since I've been out, I mean, there's been so much more research into different women's conditions anyway. But I guess from an allopathic medicine point of view, what I did learn is I worked in areas such as like the theatre and surgical. So I did have an understanding from the other side of things like women having hysterectomies, different gynecological surgical conditions and stuff like that. So I did see that. And then I also worked as an emergency nurse for most of my time in the hospital system. So I would get women coming in, you know, with pelvic pain, flare-ups of endometriosis, ectopic pregnancies, miscarriages, things like that. But we never, you know, we look, it's an acute situation, right? They're in there because they're in pain or they're miscarrying or have an ectopic pregnancy. So we're looking at it from a very acute perspective. We're not like diving deep into the reasonings and the causes behind that. So I would say a lot of my women's health knowledge and study has come through my Ayurvedic training as a Ayurvedic medicine practitioner and also my own training as well. And I'm also doing a master's degree in acupuncture and TCM. So I think just when it comes to the background of hormonal imbalances and conditions, I can't remember diving too deep in nursing school, but like I said, it was a really long time ago.
Yeah, but I think that perspective is really helpful of understanding that, like, the when you're going into the doctor's office when you're having these issues, that the focus is like we see someone in pain and our job is to, you know, deal with the situation that's in front of us. And that, you know, then it serves a purpose, right? And that's an important thing, right? Someone comes in pain and like, this is a problem that needs an immediate relief, you know? And then seeing that as just a different purpose even than like what we're looking at in terms of root causes and, you know, more sustainable relief over time.
100%. And I think like the Western allopathic medical system, it definitely has a role to play, and they do help with diagnosis. So they come in if like a patient comes in with pain in the ED or the ER, I think you might refer to. You know, you've got to look at the cause of that pain. And so they will send you off for imaging. You might have like ultrasound, you might have CT scans. They will refer you on to other professionals like the gynecologist, if that's the place that they think you need to go. And obviously if someone comes in with, say, an ectopic pregnancy, like that's life-saving surgery that needs happen. So there's definitely a big role there. But what I saw in Western allopathic medicine was the limitations in the aftercare, the longevity and quality of life, and getting to those lifestyle and dietary factors that help either prevent prevent a flare up or a reoccurrence, or just being able to manage those hormonal imbalances at that sort of underlying root level. And there's many different causes of hormonal balances that Western allopathic medicine doesn't really address very well at all.
Yeah, I think that's so important, especially when we're talking about pain, because I think it can feel like one or the other, right? Where you either go in and have surgery or have, these more acute interventions, or, the messaging can be like, well, pain isn't normal and you shouldn't have pain and you can just change your diet a little bit and then like pain goes away. But seeing that there is, especially when we're talking about like this acute pain, right? There is a, that realm of normal of some discomfort with periods, and that can fluctuate right from cycle to cycle. But can you share a little bit about like what is that like level of pain that is like, no, this isn't normal. This is something that getting checked out is the right next step, and not to be accepted as like, you have a period and that's how it is.
First of all, I'd like to say that you brought up a really important point. So people, there is all over social media, you shouldn't feel any pain. No pain's not like normal, and you shouldn't even know your period's coming. And I'm like, well, no, you should know your period's coming because you should be in tune with your body. And we as women have fluctuating hormones. So we don't stay the same all of the time. We have different phases in our cycle. We have different hormones shifting, and that will cause physiological and psychological changes because our hormones are chemical messengers that will create these changes within our mind and our body. So I think that's a really important point that you brought up. However, yes, you're 100% right. Like the little feelings that you get, the shifting of the lining of the uterus, shedding in your period and all of that, it shouldn't be excruciating pain. Like you shouldn't have to be, taking pain relief every 4 hours or something like that for it. It shouldn't be waking you up in the middle of the night. It shouldn't be disturbing you. And then these can be signs and symptoms of underlying hormonal imbalances going on. Like if you're having headaches, like really severe headaches pre or post menstrual, all different, these signs and symptoms are telling us something. So if you are experiencing, pain that is causing any, I guess, like any change, like you're having to change your day-to-day activities because of your pain or your menstrual cycle, then you definitely need to have that looked at. And even if it's just on the urge of like being like just uncomfortable, there's still things you can do. So you should always be looking at what can I do? What's really going on for me? Because there's different types of hormonal imbalances as well that can create different symptoms for different people.
Yeah, and I like that idea, like what you do in marrying these two of like they're not mutually exclusive. Like you can do both. And I think especially when you're having acute experiences, whether that's mood or physical pain, like sometimes there is that bridge too, right? Of having the medical intervention to help you be in a place to implement more holistic, lifelong, sustainable practices as well.
I feel like we're so on the same page, and I love that you're speaking about this with your audience because I think there's been a lot of shaming of the medical system in recent times. And I'm an Ayurveda natural health practitioner. I certify holistic health coaches, so I am all about that. But there is definitely a place to integrate the two, and there's no shame if you need to use our medical science-backed system that has been created to help people, even if it is a bit of symptom relief, so you can, on your journey, feel comfortable whilst you're working out what's really going on. Because to be honest, like dietary and lifestyle changes, is where it's at. And a lot of hormonal imbalances are due to those underlying stressors that we have to find in the body, in the mind. But they take time. They take time and practice. So you want to be comfortable whilst you are changing your diet and lifestyle as well. So there's nothing wrong with it. And I don't like the shaming around it at the moment. Obviously, there are more natural holistic ways that you can start to move towards. I use like the medical system as a bit of a buffer, and then you can start almost weaning off the medical system and moving more into the natural health. Like, you know, high grade ginger with magnesium is amazing for period cramps and pain. Like, you might not need Nurofen, and you might not need Panadol to deal with that. And maybe some of the underlying causes is nutritional deficiency. Maybe you're deficient in magnesium. So this is where we've got to be like, but if you've got this splitting headache and you want to get rid of the pain, there's no shame in taking some Panadol, you know, that day. It's fine. So I think, it just takes a bit of that load off people thinking that there's, you know, they have to go all one way or the other.
And thinking about like access as well, or life circumstances or trauma, or like just we're all in such different places. And so what feels accessible at any given point is so different as well. Because if you have to take you know, feel like you have to take medicine to show up for your job, to then pay for your house, to then pay, you know, it's like, this is not, you know, what feels the best today. It's like, I need this, and that's 100% okay. And that's 100% fine to do. And then if you, you know, are more privileged where you're like, look, I have all of these options. And I think in the end, that's really what it's looking at, is like, what options are there and what feels, you know, the most supportive to me and to my life, you know, in this place. And that, yeah, again, like removing that shame of like what someone else is doing, or the comparison that we get stuck in between other people's journey, when, you know, we're so unique in sort of the way that our life experience and all of those things combined together.
Yeah, you are so on point with all of that. I absolutely love everything you're saying, and 100% agree.
So I want to dive in a little bit more to your experience with endometriosis, because I know you've mentioned that your symptoms were a little bit abnormal from, you know, maybe what you would Google. But can you start with that? Like, what is endometriosis? What are the typical symptoms? And then we'll talk about your journey.
Yeah, sure. So endometriosis is a disorder in which the tissue that normally lines our uterus grows outside of the uterus. And that can look different for everyone, as you just mentioned, like we're all so individual, and so is our endometriosis. So the tissue that grows outside of the uterus, so it could be around the ovaries, it could be around the bowel, the bladder, like it can literally actually be anywhere. I've heard of people having endometrial little tissue in their nose, and when they had their period, they always get a nosebleed. So like it can be random. Usually it's not that far, that I think that's an extreme case, but the tissue does shed and bleed, and often it doesn't have an exit pathway. So when our uterine lining bleeds, it exits out the vagina. But if this tissue is growing in areas where it's trapped inside the body, then it doesn't have an exit pathway as such. And that can cause lesions, it can cause inflammation, it can cause a lot of pain. So the cause of endometriosis isn't actually well known. And that's what I was saying from like when I did my nursing degree, like 17 plus years ago, I actually graduated. So it was 20 odd when I started it, 20 odd years ago. The research we have now isn't what we had back then either. So we have come a long way, but we still have so far to go with endometriosis. And so the true cause isn't known, but there is theories about it. So a lot of people think that our hormones cause it, and that's not actually the case, but our hormones can exacerbate it. So estrogen can help and facilitate the growth of that endometrial tissue. And that's why some of the treatment pathway, depending whether you go allopathic medicine or Eastern medicine, is to deal with estrogen dominance and being able to excrete estrogen properly out of the body and manage the estrogen. There is a thought that retrograde bleeding can cause endometriosis, which is when the bleed moves internally, not externally. And there's other theories that endometrial tissue has actually been implanted since birth.
Yeah, I've seen some of that research with like it being at birth, or being more like autoimmune in its like root, as opposed to like gynecological, which has been like more historically the perspective.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
which I think is just so interesting and like so helpful to zoom out a little bit and not get so focused too on like the cycle and, you know, reproductive organs as problematic, and when we can see that it's, and I think helps, I, for me, that's helpful in sort of splitting apart too, like what's our body's normal signals that things are out of balance, and our body giving us signs that like we need to adjust a little bit, maybe we need to slow down, maybe we need different nutrients, and then what's like there's a more systemic problem happening that we need to address, you know, in more holistic ways and from different directions as well.
Absolutely. And yeah, there is definitely strong links with autoimmune disease and endometriosis. So yeah, that's a very important fact to bring up for sure.
So when like the in typical symptoms, from my understanding, most people, you know, identify like pain as painful sex, painful as extremely painful periods. Are there other symptoms that can kind of clue you in? Because I know also that sometimes it takes a little while to even see it, like on scans, where people may try to get a diagnosis for a long time because it's not overtly visible structurally, but it's, you know, kind of growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you'll very, very, very rarely see it on a scan. And so the only real way to diagnose it at the moment is through laparoscopic surgery. So the surgeon has a look with a camera, and at the same time, they can ablate the endometriosis. The most common signs and symptoms are heavy, painful period, constant bloating, and especially bloating around the menstrual cycle, pain at ovulation, spotting before the menstrual cycle, having dark, big clots in the menstrual blood, as you mentioned, painful intercourse, and even painful bowel motions and urination are some of the most common sort of signs and symptoms of endo. And unfortunately, like, I think the statistics are around 1 in 10, but I think it's probably a lot higher because most women don't get diagnosed with it because, like I said, the only way at the moment to get diagnosed is to have laparoscopic surgery. And by the time women actually do that, it's so far down the track, or they don't want to do that. And that's so understandable as well.
Especially when it's not a permanent solution, it's often then sets you off on that like series of surgeries, and that can feel like not super helpful, especially when it's been years in the making of just getting to that point. Can you share a little bit more about your experience with it? Because like you said, it was a little bit different. So what kind of clued you in that that's what was going on with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I didn't have heavy, painful periods. Like I didn't have, you know, the typical excruciating pain size, pain on intercourse, anything like that. And that's what people generally associate endo with. But I did have I did have these bizarre, I call them like these little ovulation attacks around my ovulation time. I'd get really distended, really bloated, and have pain, and then generally the bloating wouldn't really go away. So I'd be bloated for like at least 2 weeks. But then when my period came, things kind of calmed down a little bit for me. So when I would talk to a GP about these signs and symptoms, you know, they're trained to look at the signs and symptoms. They're like, oh, it's not really typical. Like, I don't think you've got endo. And I've spoken to other health, like natural health practitioners in the field, friends and stuff. They're like, yeah. But I was like, what I know is like around ovulation, your hormones are peaking, and endo can be derived from these hormonal conditions. So I was like, I could very much have endo around ovaries or around, you know, different areas that is being exacerbated by the peak of hormones around that ovulation period. The other thing is I had, I tested myself for SIBO, which is small intestine bacteria overgrowth, because I was looking at like trying to work out where this bloating was coming from as well. And I did have SIBO, and SIBO is actually very closely related to endometriosis, because the endometriosis can grow around the bowel and slow down bowel motility, and that can create like bacteria overgrowth. So I treated the SIBO, eradicated the SIBO, but I was still getting some of these, well, a lot of the bloating actually. And so I wanted to dive deeper. So I then booked in with the gynecologist, and I end up having a laparoscopic surgery, and I did have endo around the ligaments near my ovary, around the bowel, in the pelvis, and I think it was around the bladder as well.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. It's not just the uterus as the center of all of it, because that would make sense that it wasn't around your period then, because none of it was on the uterus. And so that contracting and everything wouldn't like exasperate it the same way. And just, yeah, super valuable to like being able to be that in tune with your body to notice, you know, when those shifts are happening and everything.
I think that's like an important role that you're doing as well, is like educating women about their hormones, because when you can really sort of tap into the hormonal shifts and how your body feels and fluctuates throughout the month, then you can start to understand yourself better. And if you are having these signs and symptoms, you can start to connect the dots and then be your own advocate for your health, because that's what I had to be. Like, I was getting told for years I wouldn't be endo, you know, mm-hmm. and it was, I was like, no, actually, I think it could be, and kept being persistent with it, that I got the diagnosis.
I love that you're saying that, because it is, there's so much data that your body's giving you. And when you can like learn what that baseline for you is, what's normal for you, you also become so much more sensitive to what isn't normal. And I also find that's super helpful then when you talk to medical professionals, of like, you're bringing in like, here's all the things I've tracked, like this is all the data I can give you. And that helps them do their job better as well. Because when we talk about like the broad symptoms, like fatigue, pain, it's like, those are so broad, like that could be so many things. So I think it's hard to narrow down as well. But it makes that conversation so much more empowering when it's like, look, this is what I know about myself. I think you can get to those answers quicker with being dismissed less, because it's so clearly, you know, mapped out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you got this diagnosis, and then now, you know, working with your clients as well, what were you able to do to find relief from those symptoms as well and manage it?
So there is a lot of evidence that the low FODMAP diet does really help with endo symptoms. So IBS, endo, like I said, SIBO, mm-hmm. they kind of go, no, I don't want to say hand in hand, like everyone has these symptoms, but it is sort of a known fact that they can work together. And a lot mm-hmm. of people endo, they do get a lot of relief from working with like a low FODMAP diet. The other thing is gut health and gut integrity, because like I mentioned, we want to be able to metabolize the estrogen properly, and estrogen is metabolized through the gut and through the liver. So really looking after our gut health and our liver health. And personally for me, when I was recovering from the surgery, I took a really high dose of turmeric, and I swear that was amazing for the anti-inflammatory properties. And then also modulating the estrogen. So looking at things like, you know, magnesium, Vitex, so herbal support and supplements to move forward with once you've had the endometriosis surgery. And then also looking at nutritional deficiencies. So if you are low in certain things like vitamin B, selenium, iodine, all of those, because the body, it really does communicate. And when we're looking at the hormonal component of endo, we want to make sure that our hormones are in a nice balanced state. And so again, looking at toxin exposure and environment, because another way that estrogen can be affected is through xenoestrogens in our environment and toxin exposure. And a big one is stress and emotional health, because our stress and emotional health will create a hormonal imbalance between our stress hormones and our sex hormones. Mm-hmm. And we know that that can create an inflammatory response in the body. So looking at, you know, what is our stress response and how we can manage that. And then again, addressing any maybe underlying autoimmune conditions, as you mentioned, and any sort of like hidden infections. So that's sort of like the things that I looked at addressing, and definitely more of an anti-inflammatory style diet and moving the body. You want to exercise, you want to get that lymphatic system moving, because that's all part of your detoxification process as well.
Those are all super helpful ways to start to finding that relief and finding what works at an individual level. Could you tell us a little bit more about like the anti-inflammatory diet?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, as you mentioned, like everyone is so individual. So it's looking at something that works best for you. And I work with an Ayurvedic methodology when I'm looking at diet and food. So I look at someone's individual constitution depending on their dosha. And then I weave in the anti-inflammatory properties. So a lot of triggers for immune, like our immune system, if we've already got underlying anti-immune autoimmune conditions going on, and things like endo is reducing some of those higher inflammatory dietary aspects like gluten and wheat. And I'm not saying that everyone has to be gluten-free and wheat-free forever, but it is known that it can cause more of an inflammatory response in someone who is highly sensitive. The other one is a lot of dairy that can cause a lot of inflammation in the body. And sometimes we just need to eliminate that for a small period of time to allow the body to settle, and then we can start to reintroduce. Another thing that I often do with my clients is actually test for food intolerances, because if you have food intolerances and you're introducing them into your body, you're always going to create this like place of inflammation in the body as well. Some other bigger culprits are sugar, like that is actually highly inflammatory, and things like caffeine and alcohol as well. So pretty much all the fun things. So people hate that. That's why I never go in with all of that. But there are so many good things that you can eat, like a range of, fruits and vegetables and lean proteins and things to support your body as well. So it's rather looking at, as opposed to being in a deprivation mindset, look at what can you eat to really nourish the body.
I love that you're saying it's that more like additive mindset of like, what are you going to put in? And I found that helpful, like in my own journey. When I tried restriction, like, I mean, I cold turkeyed it for a little while and I did it. It wasn't great. It wasn't fun. And I didn't feel a difference. But when I shifted that to like, okay, what am I going to eat? Like, what are the good things I'm going to eat that I enjoy eating? And let that almost like push out the other things was like the shift that I needed to be able to do it in a way that was more supportive and not feeling like a punishment. No, and I know, I think whenever you're listening, like caffeine and, alcohol and like all those things that, the vices that we all know aren't the best, but I think it really is coming back from that place of noticing how you feel, where it's like sometimes it's like that feels so good because you feel so bad. And so it's just like you're clinging to anything that feels like a little boost, but then when you start to change how you actually feel in your body, the need for it, the connection to it shifts as well.
Totally. And it's not to say that you can't have those things ever again. Like, it's not about that at all. It's just about seeing where your set point is with those types of foods, because we all have a different tolerance level. And it might just mean, for 4 weeks eliminating so you can allow the underlying inflammation to settle and then slowly add in, and then having them at special occasions and being okay with that. But just again, listening to your body and seeing how that works.
Yeah, can you tell me a little bit more about what you mean by like a dosha? Just share a little bit more about what that philosophy is, what those things mean.
Yeah, so in Ayurveda, we look at your own mind-body individual constitution, and we look at them through the lens of the doshas. And there's three doshas, the Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, and they have their own elements and properties. So when I do a consultation, I'll always look at someone's dosha and work that out. And then there's certain foods and lifestyle recommendations that will help balance that dosha, because once a dosha is aggravated within someone, then that creates an imbalanced state, and that's where disease can manifest. So that's sort of the doshas in a nutshell. They're like an energetic system that we all have an individual proportionate amount of. So it's working out our individual dosha.
Before we close out, I'd love for you to share just kind of like what would you say to someone who's like dealing with this type of pain? Maybe they suspect they have endometriosis, maybe they've been diagnosed and are just really struggling with the limitations that it can bring when you're in that pain. What maybe is like a first step or an encouragement to start that journey to relief?
Absolutely. So you're not alone. Like, a lot of women are suffering from endometriosis. So find a support network that, you know, you can connect with so that you feel like you have your people around you. But then also be mindful of that, because sometimes, you know, too much negativity if people are talking about it can also, you know, set you up for how you think the trajectory of your healing will go. Mm-hmm. Remember that you're very individual. Looking at optimizing health, I use my higher self methodology, which includes three pillars. So I would really start, where can you optimize your health? And that's not just the physical, but looking at the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual, because we all aspects of ourselves need to be pulled into play when we're really looking at optimizing our health. And then having those empowered belief shifts. So knowing that a lot of people get diagnosed with endometriosis and then they think, oh great, I'm doomed for life. Like it's going to change. Like I'm never going to get rid of this. They've heard that the surgery will only last mm-hmm. for so long, but that's not the case for everyone. You know, treat yourself as an individual and always have those beliefs that you can heal and you can be empowered and you can empower yourself to be a warrior, not a victim of this disease. And then create some really purpose-driven changes in your life. And that would be through lifestyle, through diet that makes you feel really good. And I would, seek help and support from a professional that knows how they can look at what is interplaying your endometriosis and the symptoms that you have. So like I said, if you're getting a lot of cramps and pain, there are some really beautiful herbal, simple medicines, nutritional deficiencies, you might need to treat that. So looking at like these little underlining causes that might be exacerbating your symptoms mm-hmm. that could actually be really easy and simple to treat.
Oh, thank you so much.
If you missed the intro and jumped straight to the episode, don't forget that my Ayurveda Alchemist program is open for enrollment via application. This program certifies you as an Ayurveda lifestyle and wellness coach and will help you up-level your health and wellness business. You'll gain access to the ancient wisdom of Ayurveda and graduate with a knowledge of how to incorporate this timeless wisdom and holistic framework into your business so that you can create greater impact and boldly step into the high-level practitioner you know you can be. If you are ready to up-level your life and help transform the life of others by becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, head over to harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au and apply today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.